It's time for Game of Thrones Weekly. It is Thronesgiving here. We are talking who we'd invite to dinner at our Thanksgivings. And if Game of Thrones isn't on, what you should be binging over the weekend. Stick around.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello and welcome to Game of Thrones Weekly. I'm Yael Teagle. I've taken over Game of Thrones Weekly. That is why my favorite Game of Thrones theme song is playing currently. You can keep up with me everywhere at Yael Teagle. That's Y-A-E-L-T-Y-G-I-E-L. I am joined by two Game of Thrones fans. Tari J. Miller is here.
Hey guys, I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J, T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y.
Yeah, and Alexis Torres.
Hey everybody, I'm Alexis Torres. You can find me all over social media at A-Torres-890.
Beautiful. Ooh. I like that you wrote it out.
Yeah, I thought I'd do something different because after going J-A-Y, I have to do something.
I love it. Well, we are talking Game of Thrones Weekly. It's Thronesgiving here.
Yes.
before we discuss what Barely. We're thankful for, I have some Game of Thrones news.
Yay!
Yeah.
News.
Wah, 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 wah.
I liked that.
That was improv.
So Game of Thrones season 1-7 is available on Blu-ray. On Black Friday, it was on sale.
What?
And since we are taping on a Sunday, I assume Cyber Monday will also be on sale. Big news there.
Nice. Yeah.
I like it.
Also, Emilia Clarke, our beloved Emilia Clarke, who is not only apparently a huge Handmaid's Tale fan.
Praise be.
But...
What?
Under his eye. But she is sick of people talking about the sex on Game of Thrones.
Sex.
The sex. She, in an interview with Bazaar, Harper's Bazaar, she vented, I'm starting to get really annoyed about this stuff now because people say, oh yeah, all the porn sites went down when Game of Thrones came back on. I'm like, The Handmaid's Tale. I effing love that show, and I cried when it ended because I couldn't handle not seeing it. That's all sex and nudity. There are so many shows centered around this very true fact of people that people reproduce. People eff for pleasure. It's part of life.
Correct.
Interesting.
It's a weird statement. You can read the entire interview at Harper's Bazaar, and we have included the link in the description below, so check that out. Also, we'll tweet it out.
Cool, yeah. Yes.
That's the news, is that she was like, people need to stop talking about how it's super porny. And to be fair, over the years, it, like, got less porny.
I mean, yes. They started making their, like, weird sex scenes more integral to the plot.
So, yes. Like, though, it's not really porn anymore.
Yeah. But also, I mean, I feel like it's a weird thing to say when the last scene, spoiler alert,
if sorry.
You haven't seen the last spoilers scene on of the Game last of Thrones
episode. But the last scene is her porking her
nephew.
Friend.
Nephew.
Her friend.
Her
good friend. Yeah.
Gross.
No, but I think she's right, though, that people being like, haha, the porn sites crashed. No one went to porn because you were back. I get how that can be annoying, because that's just tasteless
right.
of a statement. But I don't know that I would be like, The Handmaid's Tale has sex in it. No, what The Handmaid's Tale seems to have is a lot of rape.
Yes. Yeah, I was like, I understand what you're trying to say, because it is.
Yeah, also.
No, correct. But I feel like Handmaid's Tale has, like, ratio for rape to actual sex, it's like scales are
so
off.
Check out that entire article. There were a lot of other really interesting things, but that statement went a little viral and was picked up by other outlets as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, so let's get into Thronesgiving.
Yes.
I sent my guests a prompt, and the question was, if you could invite one Game of Thrones character to Thanksgiving with your family, I would invite blank. I'm gonna start myself. I said, okay, so here's why. I need to explain why.
Okay, I feel like you're being preemptive about this.
Okay, so I would invite Tyrion, Bronn, and Podrick, and here's why. My dad hasn't been feeling well recently. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And he is a big wine drinker and likes to argue politics and history and war. And I think that he would get along with Tyrion because, one, he can argue intelligently.
Yes.
And he can drink wine with him. Mm-hmm. And Bronn also, because Bronn's also vulgar, and my dad, like me, makes a lot of vulgar jokes.
Yeah.
And then Podrick I would bring to help my mom in the kitchen so that I don't have to.
Smart.
Yeah. So, like, that's the idea, is that I've brought people so that I can be out of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Podrick can also help out of the kitchen as well.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, that's why I invited him over. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, Tari, tell us who you invited.
Okay, so I invited a really fun group. So I said the Hound because he's dope, he's really fun, and he's also coveting of chicken, and I really think he'd appreciate you.
He does love chicken.
Yeah, he'd appreciate your food. And I also decided to bring Brienne and Tormund as a couple.
Yeah, but only together.
Only together. Because I like to imagine that Brienne and the Hound are like, they're like battle brother, sibling, sister.
Sure. Yep,
those
yeah,
words.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, so like, Tormund is the like brother-in-law who's just hanging out, and then
not the brother-in-law.
I mean, not yet, but he will be.
All right.
And I also decided to bring Hot Pie because he could also help in the kitchen, and he's a wonderful
guy. I've never known this dude's name, so I'm really glad somebody brought it up, because yeah. I was like, it's the guy who makes pies.
He makes pies, and then turns out if I'm sure everyone already knows, he has a restaurant.
Yeah.
And actually makes the wolves.
Yeah.
He's like, he really could help in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So the real person and the character you'd bring.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. My husband's on the same boat. He's nice. Yeah, the guy who makes the bread. Yeah, him.
Alexis, who would you bring?
I'm actually in the same realm of literally between the two of you. I would bring Brienne, Bronn, Tyrion, and Podrick, because one, I think Tyrion and I would get along very nicely, just drinking and just chatting, because I've also said that when I'm drunk, it's like, I drink and I know things, which is clearly incorrect, but I just want to, like, pick his brain. I also think Brienne just doesn't get, like, time to just relax. I really just want to make
that's
her...
That's so sweet of you!
Like, I'd be like, hey, here's a nice hot meal, we should talk, like, tell, like, vent to me, like, what's happening, also, you don't have to protect anybody
here.
Yeah,
like, we came up with these, like, real selfish reasons.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, she deserves a break.
Yeah, I just want her to just, like, hang out. Podrick, yeah.
Podrick, why? Because that's, you didn't write his name when you said why.
No, I did not, because for obvious reasons, I have my priorities set.
Yeah, you wrote a descriptor.
Yes.
And I went, I know who that is.
Yeah, if my husband and I, you know how, like, couples have, like, a list? Yeah, that's the guy on my list. If he was actually real and had all the right tools. I just want to see.
Hey. And why Bronn?
Bronn, I think that because the fact that he's just such a fun, like, guy to, like, hang around, and the fact that he's just like, I'm just here to, you know, do women and drink and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. That I feel like he'd just be really fun. But also, I just want to know if he has anything else under the table with conversation besides that. Because I feel like we only get to see one note of him. I'd like to see if there's more, because we only get to see him arguing all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah, I just want to get to know a little bit what's, like, under the armor. Yeah,
I really like that, because I was like, no, I want to bring Bronn, because I know this one note of his, and I like this one note of his.
I like that you really care about these guys. Like, you guys, you're like, you guys live a really hard life.
Except for Podrick.
We're using you
for your body.
I'm sure he wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
He'd be like, yes, please.
Yeah.
No, he would. That's not how Podrick. He'd be like, yes, please.
Yeah.
That's Podrick.
If you could, sir.
Yeah. I'd make you a meat pie after, you know? I wouldn't just be like, okay, bye, Podrick, bye. Like, I'd be like, hey, you want some food? Some ale? Something? I don't know.
Would you like to cuddle?
Yeah. No. Ah, spooning. Get out.
I love it. Let's talk about what we're thankful for. So I asked you to come up with a scene or a storyline that you were thankful for. It's not your answer. Alexis, we'll start with you. What were you thankful for?
Definitely for Jon Snow being alive. One, because I wanted to know more about his character, especially because I wasn't also done reading the books yet. So I was like, please don't kill him off. I feel like he's really important. Why would you do that? But I don't know. I'm also a big fan of Kit Harington, so I just like to see him and stuff. So I'm really happy that they brought him back. And I love also the stories that he had to go through by not telling people, like the actor himself.
Oh, yeah.
Telling people. So I love
the story about the cop when he got pulled over.
Yeah.
Such a good story.
I really wish I was that cop. But, like, it was just really cool the fact that we have those stories now because he died. And they're like, so is he coming back? Or what? So
that's cool.
And also the fact that I called it too, of how he was coming back. Nice. So I'm pretty proud of that. I think I also wrote down, oh yeah, so this part was mostly just because it was obviously from the last episode, but I really, really loved this because we actually got to see the cast all together. Mm-hmm. Is when we finally get to show the White Walker to Cersei and pretty much everybody in King's Landing who is important. And it really got to get deep into the characters and see what they would feel when they saw the final character that we've, like, they've been hearing ghost stories about since they were kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you that this was such an important... This show has been on for so long, mm-hmm. and it started out so slow that, like, we got this moment that kind of was like, everyone important is here now. Mm-hmm. And that's so cool. And I am also thankful for that.
Yeah, because I also love that it was kind of like a weird, like, pissing match between Cersei and Khaleesi. Like, when she, like, just showed up late and they're like, so is she coming? And then she shows up on a dragon. I'm like, yep, she had to make her entrance. It's fine. You know, we're all cool here. You know.
Oh, I was not thankful about her entry.
No, I was like, nah, nah, nah. Yeah, I was just, it was just, but it was, it was a different take because the fact that we usually see men trying to, like, mm-hmm. one-up themselves. I loved the fact that we actually had, two strong, powerful women who are queens in their own, like, mm-hmm. section, and the mm-hmm. fact that they can show up and be like, yeah, I'm kind of the best. No, because I can kill you. You know, like, that kind of thing. Like, it was cool to see that. So,
I agree.
Yeah.
Tari, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for the montage that we had of Samwell. Samwell? Yes. Samwell.
I thought you wanted to say Samwise.
I always do.
Samwell.
But Samwell, doing his duties when he's, like, cleaning up the
poop. Here it is.
No, nope. I can't look. I can't listen.
I sent a little clip. Nope. Just a little clip. I'm just doing it.
Okay,
we get
to
clip. We get to a clip.
Oh, yeah. No, not okay. The sounds. Not the sounds.
Yep, that's why I took off my headphones. Oh, my God. Not doing it. Okay. Oh, God.
Soup.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. Uh-huh. Oh, God. Can't do it.
We're done.
I still feel so much glee watching it.
Why are you thankful for this?
I'm thankful because in a show that is so full of really intense drama and, you know, your favorite characters can die at any moment, it's nice to have, like, these moments of levity where I'm serious, though. Like, there are assorted jokes, mostly that come from Tyrion, but, like, this montage, one, the shooting style was different from all the rest of the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Wright stepped in.
Right.
Yeah.
And it conveyed so much of his life in that, however many, like, let's say it was a 3-minute long sequence. Mm-hmm. You got to know and you got to feel how grueling and gross his everyday routine was. And mm-hmm. I thought it was really well done. I also had another one that I thought of while you were speaking.
Mm-hmm. I was like, you definitely did not send another one.
Nope. I'm off the cuff, baby. Oh, no. Straight off the dome.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm actually thankful for the Ned Stark beheading scene.
Oh. Also, Get Out.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, I thought you were saying you're thankful for Get Out, and I was like,
oh, well, yeah. Hey, I'm thankful for that, but also Tara Get Out.
It's great. mostly because I feel like that moment changed TV moving forward.
I see what you mean. Okay.
It essentially raised the stakes in all other programs that, like, reminded people that you don't have to give everyone plot armor. You can kill your main character mm-hmm. and still have a show, and it, like, challenges your writers. And I mean, and whether that worked for the better or for the worse in terms of some shows, mm-hmm. I really think it was a pivotal moment in television.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that you're thankful for TV stuff,
uh-huh.
and we're like, plot.
Yeah, I need the plot to move, please.
I love that. I love that you're. I like that I gave you prompts and you're taking them. You're really taking them. Okay. I was thankful for two deaths. I was thankful for Joffrey's death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all
especially were. Because so I didn't read the books, and this I expected, based on how the show was going, that he would survive at least as long as Cersei has survived.
Huh.
I was expecting him to be around for a lot longer because we hated him so much. I was like, well, he's gonna be around for a while,
right?
And so I was very surprised by the death mm-hmm. which I appreciated, and that it gave us a whole different, like, it wasn't just a death, it then took us into a mystery, and then took us into, you know, people running away, and it really furthered the plot.
Right.
Rather than, this person's dead, now I seek revenge, which is a lot of what happened on the show mm-hmm. with other deaths.
Right.
The other death that I am thankful for was Ramsay's death.
Oh, thank God.
Because... Yeah. As, as an SVU lover, I think that sometimes rapists deserve things like this.
Oh, yes. Oh, man, I can't. Okay, no, you continue. I might have one more. Okay,
go for it. No, go for it.
you don't need to look up a picture for this. It's going to be really quick. I'm very thankful for that scene with Lord Baelish, because one, again, it showed two.
Which scene with
at the very end? Sorry,
hold on. A scene with Lord Baelish.
Sorry, spoiler: the death of Lord Baelish.
Yes, that okay. one. So yeah, so I love the fact that one, we were led to believe that the girls were going to be pitted against each other because Lord Baelish mm-hmm. is like, oh yeah, I got you know you guys all on right. strings, and then realized that the girls were playing him the entire time. I loved that, and again, his face of being like, I'm sorry, what? Like, clutching pearls, like, I'm sorry, excuse me? Why did you just say my name? Yeah, and then the fact that pretty much just slit his throat. Sorry, spoilers.
No, from what I understand, Game of Thrones Weekly is full of spoilers because it's a Game of Thrones Weekly.
Yeah, so the fact that, again, I guess I'm always for women power in any way, shape, and form, especially in media. So the fact that we had two young girls, by mm-hmm. the way, who've been through so much crap, be able to get back just a little bit of something is fantastic.
I liked seeing Sansa's turn with Ramsay, mm-hmm. and I like where the character was going with that. Mm-hmm. I disagree with you about Baelish's death.
Sure.
I'm fine with it. The fact that he died, I'm less fine with how it played out.
Sure.
Mm.
But we're all thankful, and that's what matters.
Yes.
Thronesgiving.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Have some salt and bread.
So our third prompt was, if you like Game of Thrones, then you should check out. And the reason we did this prompt is because during the holidays, there are a lot less shows on TV. And second of all, you have a lot more time to binge things.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we brought you recommendations of shows that if you like Game of Thrones, you will like. You should check these out for various reasons. So I'll start. My first recommendation is this show called Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. I was like,
that's a lot of words.
It is. I'll be real honest. The way the show was promoted was not well. Mm. It came off very clearly as a buddy cop where one guy's real annoying and one guy's the straight man. Right. And that is not what this show is.
Oh.
At all. And the reason I think a Game of Thrones fan would enjoy it is that, first of all, it's very confusing. And we as Game of Thrones fans seem to be like, young, stick with this and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the second season very much has knights and magic and things of Game of Thrones style.
Right.
So I definitely recommend Dirk Gently. Tari, do you think you have any addition to why people would like, because I know you watch Dirk Gently?
I mean, I think that people who watch Game of Thrones are very much into finding small details that can lead to big reveals later. Mm-hmm. And this show, Dirk Gently, is very much full of, like, tiny clues that you have to gather as you're watching the show in order to kind of, one, make sense of all the like, what seems like disparate items that happen throughout the course of the seasons. And so if you are a big TV super sleuth, this is the show for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that is one of the big appeals. Also, I guess this is another show where no one is safe.
Yeah. That's true. The other show I recommended was The Magicians. Again, magic. Game of Thrones has some magic-y.
Mm-hmm.
But also, one of the things that I love about The Magicians is that it's so silly and out there and mm-hmm. crazy. And I think Dirk Gently also is, where you're like, what the F is happening?
Yeah.
And that plays a lot more, I think, into The Magicians. But also in The Magicians, like Game of Thrones, there's some weird sex scenes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, I just started watching The Magicians, and I was like, whoa, was not, oh, okay, yeah, all right, cannot watch this at home with my family.
Perfect example of why you should be watching The Magicians.
Like, whoa.
Not Emilia Clarke approved.
Yeah.
No, she'd be like, why are you talking about sex in Game of Thrones? Have you seen the Magicians?
Yeah. Let's just Chandler it up. Have you seen the Magicians?
Is that not how she talks?
No, yeah. No. I mean, that's how I imagine it.
It is. It is.
Tari, what show do you recommend? Actually, Alexis, what show do you recommend?
Alexis and I have the same idea.
I might have another one just to throw
on. Oh, good. I got another one, too.
Oh, okay. Well, so, I like that great minds think alike, though. One,
I'd like to think that your second one is also the same one.
I don't think so. I'll be very surprised.
I would be amazed.
Yeah.
So we chose Into the Badlands.
Yes.
Why?
Thank you, Yale.
I'm prompting you.
Wow. It's so good.
This is how a quality lead host does this.
Yeah. I'm taking notes.
Why?
Just like throw up like a card. Why?
So I think that it's really appealing to Game of Thrones fans, mostly because there's an element of the political drama that you get from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. But then, in addition, you get a little bit of magic, and you also have these dope fight scenes.
Oh my god. So glorious.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So it's like every week you get like a mini Battle of the Bastards or a mini that two-sworded guy who fought young Ned Stark.
Yeah. I knew where you were going with that. Yeah, I think also like the great thing also with Game of Thrones is the costuming and the world building and things like that. Into the Badlands is also on the same boat. The fact that it's post-apocalyptic?
Yeah, it's
question mark?
Post-apocalyptic.
Yeah. But the fact that the costuming is really well for like the different factions. It's pretty much just like Hunger Games meets Game of Thrones plus like really cool martial arts. So if you like throw in like House of Flying Daggers and all that kind of stuff just kind of like into one whole media thing, it's great. I think that one, it doesn't get a lot of attention that it should get because the wire work and just the writing for that show is fantastic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird because I feel like it isn't I feel like it's rarely advertised.
No, it's not advertised like at all. It's all Walking Dead stuff on AMC right now.
So if you know, but if you know about it, you're like, this is the best show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so unknown. It's all on Netflix, I believe.
Yes, yeah, all of season one. Maybe.
I guess we should also mention where this shows air.
Our Into the Badlands airs on AMC. You can pretty much watch all of its episodes on the website right now, and I think Netflix has season one for sure.
Mm-hmm. And The Magicians is on Sci-Fi Channel and is sometimes on Sci-Fi On Demand, and I want to say it's on Netflix as well.
I think it is. Don't think they took it off yet, because I think that's where I was watching it for a while.
Past seasons are on Netflix.
Yeah. And the new season's coming out January?
Yes, definitely. Early January.
And Dirk Gently is BBC America.
Yep.
I binged the whole first season on Hulu.
Nice.
Yes.
And I assume the BBC America app as well.
Right. Into the Badlands, they are currently filming season 3. So.
Nice.
So these are perfect shows to, like, binge over the holidays because, you know, you don't want to talk to your family.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
I watched Into the Badlands all in one day.
Yeah, because there's not that many episodes. One of those, like, shows that only has, like, 6 episodes here, 8 episodes there, like, that kind of thing. So it's really short.
What was your other suggestion,
Tari? No, you go
first.
My other suggestion was Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Is that what it was?
I knew it.
I was like, wait, it's an anime. I don't know if anyone's going to be cool with that. But okay, yeah.
I'm so happy. I think what we've established is that if the prompt was what's a good show for someone who likes Game of Thrones, and two of you came up with two of the same show.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Yes.
I think it tells you the fans that we're right.
Or we're just really good friends. And we just know. Probably.
Actually, no, I'm going to change mine. Mine is just regular Full Metal Alchemist, and hers is Brotherhood.
They're two different things.
So, tell us about them.
So, Full Metal Alchemist, not Brotherhood, was created while the manga was still in running, while it was still running. And so, at a certain point, it diverged from the original source material and is its own story. The base story being that it is about these two brothers who, in an age where instead of pursuing sciences, humanity pursued alchemy instead, they tried to use alchemy to bring their mother back from the dead, which resulted in one of them losing their full body and the other losing their arm and their leg. And now they're on a journey to find the Philosopher's Stone in order to use its power that doesn't require the equivalent exchange of materials in order to perform alchemy.
Okay.
So it's pretty much like, if you can't follow all of that description, the fact that I love this show because the fact, same thing with Brotherhood, is that your consequences, your decisions lead to consequences that you need to live with. So the fact that they wanted to bring back their mother because she's a single mother, they have no one else in their family, that they decide to bring her back using a magic that they know nothing, well, they know about, but right. not enough for them mm-hmm. to understand that if you're going to bring life back into a body that should not have life in it, you might lose some limbs or just your soul, whatever. So the fact that, like, that's what it means. Same thing with Game of Thrones. You're playing the Game of Thrones, and the decisions that you make will lead to pretty grave consequences. So I feel like Brotherhood is pretty much the same show, but it follows the manga to a T, or the books to a T.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so, in this is becoming a Full Metal Alchemist panel.
Yep.
So in the original version, where it diverts is essentially the focus becomes more on these creatures called the homunculi.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially you follow that path, whereas Brotherhood...
it's more political, I guess.
It's a lot more political, yeah. because in the original, it only really stays in the original land of Amestris.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, they start playing with multidimensionalism.
That was weird.
But for the most part, you just stay in that realm.
Yeah.
And you focus on the character, so it's more character-driven. Whereas the stakes in Brotherhood are a lot bigger because you have all of these different regions mm-hmm. that are at war with one another in the same way that Game of Thrones is,
mm-hmm.
in that, like, everyone is trying to assert their dominance over the other regions, mm-hmm. and some of them are using alchemy in ways that they shouldn't,
yep.
in the same way that, like, some people have smaller versions of the Philosopher's Stone, which is the equivalent to, like, a dragon.
Yeah.
I'm really, like, tying these things together.
I mean, but I also love the fact that, like, in Game of Thrones, it's such a really well-balanced way of bringing such a huge cast and being able to still follow their stories and understand what's happening. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood does the same thing because you have so many different groups that you're trying to be like, okay, wait, what are they going for? Oh, yeah, I remember. And it ties to this person, and it kind of does that whole thing. So,
yes, I forgot about the ensemble mm-hmm. cast, because you have, like, all these people from different regions
mm-hmm.
that eventually, like, the way that the storytelling goes, will all meet at some point, mm-hmm. but, like, you meet them in such different places, and they grow so much,
yeah.
In the same way that, like, there are... In Game of Thrones, there are so many different stories that you're like, these people are never going to come across one another.
Yeah.
And then, like, you just happen to... Oh, my gosh, Brotherhood does such a good job of, like... seeding these things in, where, like, so you'll see these characters in the background of an episode that doesn't involve them at all, and I feel like it mm-hmm. really does a good job of balancing those the ensemble cast. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Just like, do you see the nerd meter? Yeah,
it was so adorable.
I'm sorry, guys. I forgot how, like, really well really done this show is.
Yeah, he is.
I'm rewatching it right now, and I'm like, it's so
yes.
No. That's why I have it all on
right.
my arm.
Like, all okay. right.
Can yeah. I tell you about this one thing? Because it's so subtle. Like, there is a scene.
I feel like there's glass breaking. It's just all
guys. Like, it's amazing. Because all right, there's a scene. I'm not gonna spoil anything.
Oh my god!
But like, you it's these two people talking, and you the shot is jumping from person to person, and like, anime is really good about, like, doing different angles because they don't have to worry about, like, actual camera movements.
Right.
So, like, you can be just right underneath someone or really far back. And so in one of these shots, just in the foreground, like, you don't see the person, you just see two boots walk across the frame and, like, a sword drag behind them. And you're just, like, if you weren't paying attention, you'd be like, I don't know. Like, it just, what a weird frame. And then two episodes later, you're like, that was that person. It's insane.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It's awesome.
I'm going to throw in one more show. It's called Killjoys, and the reason I throw this in is because on the Killjoys After Show this last season, Stephen Lemieux, one of the producers here at AfterBuzz, went, wait a second, and explained who each of the groups were in terms of Game of Thrones, and we realized that in season three, I believe we're in mm-hmm. now, in season three, they basically made Game of Thrones.
Wow.
not to a Game of Thrones extent, very different. And it's all in space. So very different. Cool, but there is a great way when you get to it going, oh, like, here are these are the, you know, these are the Tarleys and these are the whatever. Yeah. And everybody. And then there's very clearly who the White Walkers are and the battle with the White Walkers. And I think that it was a really great analogy. So I'm going to throw that in there as well because that show should not take you any time to watch.
I might have just one more. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
just
I have two more.
Just to change it up, because I know that Tari and I had the same one. So I want to like throw something else out there. This one's a little bit different because it's not strictly fantasy, but it is sci-fi. Sense8 is actually kind of in the same realm because the fact that it does follow politics, it follows 8 different people who come from 8 different types of countries, and like the fact that they all have to meet up to do this one thing. They have to also deal with like a crazy organization who's trying to like take over everything and try to regroup all these people and things. And you technically have White Walkers in that sense as well, because the fact that they make like these like weird zombies that you can control and you can do like it's insane. But I think the one thing that I love about Game of Thrones is how well balanced the story is, even though you're following a crap ton of people. Sense8 has 8 leads in 8 different countries. Like, it's crazy how the that one's also a Netflix original. So the Wachowski siblings, the ones who made The Matrix, do this TV show, and it is insane. So it might not be at that fantasy level that Game of Thrones is at, but enough for the writing, the location, costume, same thing, and all that kind of stuff, of just like the well-roundedness of the show. I can see people who would like this show. Yeah. Also, there's a lot of sex.
Yeah.
Lots of orgies. It's great.
I just really love that our recommendations are taking the best aspects of Game of Thrones and going, here are all the best things. And some of them seem to be very clearly like, well, look at all these groups. And some of them are just, there's magic and sex.
Yeah.
And we are taking things that we assume you love about Game of Thrones and applying them to other shows.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm keeping on the animation track. If you like Game of Thrones, but like want a Game of Thrones you can watch with your kids, I recommend Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
Why would you want to watch Game of Thrones with your kids?
I mean, you wouldn't want to watch Game of Thrones with your kids. But if you want something that that doesn't talk down to you, has a very well knit, well put together world that is completely thought out, super well built, every aspect, well animated, a visual feast.
Jeez.
Then you will want to watch Avatar: The Last Airbender. It is like 50 something episodes. Yes, it's all politics. It's all these nations trying to essentially fight back against an empirical nation. In the sequel series, if you get there, we have World War II parallels, which are insane.
King's Landing is the Fire Nation.
Yes.
I just realized that. Sorry.
So I think that they'd really enjoy that. Okay. Also, if people like Tolkien-esque stuff, they should check out, there's this thing, it's called Lord of the Rings. I'm not sure if you've heard of it.
I didn't think you were going to suggest that.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it's called Lord of the Rings. It's great.
What is this rings lord you speak of? Is he like a Time Lord?
He's just like a Time Lord. Also, if you like Tolkien-esque stuff, but don't have the time to watch a TV series.
But you have time for all of the Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. Well, if you're on the go,
you know what?
There's a podcast called The Adventure Zone, which is a D&D podcast. It's great. D&D, play D&D. I don't know if you guys heard D&D, but it's great.
What's
play
that?
D&D.
Anyway, this has been Thronesgiving here on Game of Thrones Weekly. We have given you shows that we recommend, scenes and memories that we're thankful for, and who we'd bring to dinner and why. But thank you all for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Before we say goodbye, I will remind everyone that it seems Game of Thrones season 1 through 7 on Blu-ray should be available for Cyber Monday.
Mm-hmm.
because it was available on Black Friday, so it's safe to assume that that's totally
yeah.
a thing.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of Cyber Monday, if you watch Dark Matter or Wynonna Earp, there are t-shirts being available on a Cyber Monday sale that started earlier today, because I don't know what day it is.
When are shirts available?
The shirts are available at redbubble.com/people/OTTs. That's OTTEES. OTTs, your one true tease.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to plug that. Alexis, where can people talk to you about all these shows you love and other things?
Oh, God. You guys can find me all over the internet at atores890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890. I'm on a bunch of after shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm actually going to be in Supernatural in 2 hours. Lethal Weapons on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. And then...
Starting in December...
Oh, yeah. The Librarians with these guys.
Yeah. Tari.
You can find me at Tari J. That's T-E-R-I-J-A-Y. You can also find me on my podcast with Lex Michael, whom you might know from other AfterBuzz panels. But we do a podcast called Missing Out. It's the retrospective that's introspective. We introduce each other to the media of our youth and also things we're into now. And we share it with each other and the world. Things that you are missing out on. Mm. So find us on iTunes, Missing Out.
You're also on an after show.
I'm also on the Supergirl after show with Lex Michael.
Lex Michael, that you do your podcast Missing Out?
That I do my podcast with.
I did it. I got you.
Thank you.
I'm Yael Teagle. I'm everywhere at Yael Teagle. That's Y-A-E-L-T-Y-G-I-E-L. And check out my Twitter, because that's where I announce things. But also, I'll be back on an after show this December for the Librarians. So if you feel the need to catch up on that, that is also something you should binge. And we'll see you December 14th for the Librarians after show. Bye!
Bye!
Bye, guys!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
This has been Game of Thrones. You listen from your home. Game of Thrones!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
Mount Sinai South Nassau in Oceanside is proud to be the only hospital on the South Shore of Long Island rated high-performing in maternity care by U.S. News & World Report. That means mothers who delivered at Mount Sinai South Nassau had fewer early deliveries, fewer C-sections, and fewer newborn complications than other hospitals, with higher rates of breastfeeding and other positive outcomes. To learn more about why you should consider Mount Sinai South Nassau to give birth, visit southnassau.org/maternity or call 877-SOUTH-NASSAW. Nassau.